From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. Rebel forces in Libya are in control of most but not all of the capital, and fighting is raging today around Muammar Gaddafi's compound. His whereabouts are unknown. Some residents of Tripoli have been celebrating, but the BBC's Rupert Winfield Hayes, who's with a contingent of rebels, says forces loyal to Gaddafi are still fighting fiercely.
As we drove into Tripoli at first light, the city looked extremely quiet. A few people waved to us from the tops of buildings and stood on street corners. Then as we approached the city centre, we came across a rebel roadblock. There was fighting ahead, they told us, Gaddafi snipers. We then joined a convoy of rebel fighters heading to the city centre. As we drove along the seafront towards Green Square, the convoy was ambushed by Gaddafi loyalists using a 20mm anti-aircraft cannon.
Go left, go left, go left! Go left, go left, go left! Stay on, stay on!
It's not clear to us how many in the rebel convoy were killed and injured, but it is...
The BBC's Rupert Winfield Hayes in Tripoli. President Obama says Libya is now at a tipping point, and it's time for Gaddafi to recognize that his rule is over. NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports the U.S. is urging rebels to steer Libya in the direction of democracy.
After holding a conference call with top national security staff, President Obama issued a statement saying that Libya is slipping from the grasp of a tyrant. The U.S. sees the Transitional National Council as the legitimate government in Libya, and President Obama says this is a pivotal and historic time for the TNC to demonstrate leadership, avoid civilian casualties, and pursue a democracy that is just and inclusive. In a similar statement from Brussels, NATO Secretary General says the Transitional National Council now holds a great responsibility. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.
Syria's President Bashar al-Assad is warning that any military action in his country, similar to NATO's air campaign over Libya, would be met with what he called huge consequences the West could never tolerate. He made the statement in a defiant interview on Syrian state television, in which he dismissed calls for his resignation. Assad says he's not worried about the security situation in his country. Human rights activists say nearly 2,000 people have been killed in the ongoing crackdown against pro-democracy demonstrators there. This year's first hurricane in the Atlantic, Irene, is pounding Puerto Rico with strong winds and torrential rain today after delivering a glancing blow to the U.S. Virgin Islands earlier. The storm will be zeroing in next on the Dominican Republic and Haiti. And forecaster Robbie Berg with the National Hurricane Center says Irene could pose a threat to the U.S. mainland this week.
Right now, does look like there's a potential threat for the U.S. coastline anywhere from Florida up to the Carolinas within the next 3 to 5 days. There's a lot of uncertainty in the forecast of those time ranges, as there normally is.
Berg says the storm could get stronger as it moves over open water. This is NPR News from Washington. A new survey of economists finds that while nearly half favor more austerity in U.S. fiscal policy, nearly 40% would like to see more stimulus measures to boost the sagging economy. Economist Lynn Reeser is with Point Loma Nazarene University in San Diego.
The very sizable number is sufficiently worried about the economy that they think we should see more spending or tax reductions to try to give the economy some help in these very trying times.
Reeser says the economists responding to the National Association for Business Economic Survey seem to agree that a combination of spending cuts and revenue increases will be needed to reduce the federal deficit. Investigators in China say they believe they now know the cause of the poisoning that killed nearly a dozen people and sickened more than 100 others there. Kathleen McLaughlin reports it's the latest food safety scandal to hit China.
Authorities say the 11 people died after a Ramadan holiday meal in Xinjiang province in the far west. State media says it's believed vinegar used in the meal was stored in bottles once used for toxic antifreeze. There's no insinuation the poisoning was intentional, but parts of Xinjiang are under lockdown this summer following pre-Ramadan violence. China is no stranger to food safety scandals. In 2008, several children died and tens of thousands became ill from infant formula that was laden with melamine. Other high-profile cases include fake eggs, exploding watermelons, and the rampant use of illegal chemicals in meat. For NPR News, I'm Kathleen McLaughlin in Beijing.
Israel's military says Palestinian militants have been firing more rockets and mortars into southern Israel despite an unofficial truce there. Israeli warplanes attacked the site from which the rockets were fired. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.